I'm Michelle Foligno.
And I'm Michael Tamaro. And this is...
Take Two.
Yes, it is, Michelle.
Which is the podcast that stops at the intersection of politics and pop culture and ponders.
We ponder a little bit here and there.
We pontificate, we laugh,
we cry. We're just so full of emotion in this podcast. I can't. So much, Michelle, has been going on in the last 2 weeks.
Right.
So Where do we start?
Let's start with the SAG Awards, which you were at on Sunday.
You know what? Should we just bypass Golden Globes altogether?
All right. Well, we can go to the Golden Globes because I was there.
Yes. Awards. We'll do a whole award season in general thus far.
Okay. So, Golden Globes were incredible. It was also not political in a sense of Trump versus America.
Yeah.
It was absolutely a woman's empowerment night at the Golden Globes, where people wore black. I wore black. Everybody wore black. And pretty much 98% of the people there wore black in support of the hashtag MeToo movement and in support of the Time's Up initiative, which was launched by several A-list actresses, which include Reese Witherspoon and Laura Dern and
America Ferrara,
and that is to combat
Michelle Williams,
and that is Time's Up is an initiative to combat workplace sexual harassment, misconduct, and assault. It is not only a legal fund, but it also is a support system created by these women for women across the country, mm-hmm. in every sector, in the technology sector, in industries, in corporations.
Working class women,
waitresses, hotel workers.
Across the board.
Yes. So that's what it's about. And literally the women brought, like Reese brought... I can't remember. No, it was Michelle Williams who brought the
founder of the
Me Too movement, yeah. LaWanda. I can't remember her name now. I'm sorry. I'm blanking on this.
I don't know, but I know what she looks like.
Okay, me too. Me too.
I thought it was an incredible evening, I have to say. And just watching it, I was in L.A. for it, but we covered it from the Bureau this year. But watching it, I really felt.
Tarana Burke.
Yes.
Thank you. Okay, go.
I thought it was a very powerful evening. It wasn't a political evening. I caught a little heat on our air. You know, I sort of took a contrary point of view, saying it wasn't very political. They were doing what Hollywood does best, which is raise awareness in a nonpartisan way.
Right.
Because sexual harassment is bipartisan.
Right.
And it was also a little hard to watch. I think they had to do what they had to do with the first award show. Right out of the gate, they sort of addressed it in a way that was appropriate and effective, I thought. They've raised close to $15 million for this legal defense fund with over 10,000 contributions, which is something to be proud of. It was a little downer, yeah?
It wasn't a downer for me.
No, well, I saw you marching up and down that carpet. You were going to torch the place. My little Madame Defarge loves a good revolution. I'm just saying, as someone watching it at home,
okay,
it could be, especially the red carpet with the E pre-show and all that. I was like, okay, like it was a really hard line to walk for some of the anchors and reporters, clearly, especially Juliana Rancic, did not envy her.
Right. She got called out on the carpet.
She got called out by Deborah Messing.
Yeah. Well, it's the only time I agree with Deborah Messing. So there it is, you know.
There it is, yeah.
She literally called out Juliana for her network and the disparity in pay that happened between Kat Sadler and Jason Williams. Is that his name, Jason Williams? And she was like, you know, that's just plain out wrong. I mean, and the E Network came back at her, shot back at her on social media and said, the reason being is she's a daytime host and he's a nighttime host. And that's, to me, that doesn't matter anymore in this day and age. But I get it. Prime time pay is different. Yes.
I had the Saturday before, I went to go see All the Money in the World, which is a fantastic movie if you haven't seen it yet.
So good.
Sort of surprised it didn't do better yesterday for the Academy Award nominations. Christopher Plummer, Michelle Williams. On my way back
Speaking of pay disparity, go ahead.
Yeah. On my way back to the hotel, I rode the elevator with Michelle Williams.
Wow, really?
Yes. They had a big Time's Up meeting in my hotel with Meryl Streep, and Reese Witherspoon was there, and the Mrs. Maisel, the actress.
Mrs. Maisel.
Miss Maisel was there.
Maisel. Mrs. The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel.
Yes, she was there.
Oh, I love her.
I had to sort of fan out. I said, Michelle, I just saw All the Money in the World. It's fantastic. Love it. She's like, oh, you're so sweet. And I'm like, are you here for a Time's Up movie? She's like, yes. She said to me, this is the real deal. And they seemed very organized going into Sunday night.
Okay.
Going into the SAGs, I don't know where it is.
Yeah, I didn't see
anything.
I
feel like they lost momentum.
Yeah, I agree.
Time's up on Time's Up. Hollywood is notorious for having a very short memory.
Yeah, but they're not short memory on racism and Oscar's so white. This is why I believe wholeheartedly that Hollywood is way more misogynistic than it is racist. Yeah, see? They're forgetting about the women already. They want to put it past because it makes them so uncomfortable because they'd rather have men in leadership positions. They really, really would. But oh, no. Embrace the Oscars so white.
Yeah. My sort of feeling was like they did what they had to do for the Golden Globes, and now it's back to business as usual, I think.
We'll see.
We'll see what happens, you know?
We'll see. Women ain't going to stop, that's for sure.
There was definitely a different feel on the carpet Sunday night at the SAG Awards. There was color came back. You know, people were a little bit more upbeat. There was a smattering of Time's Up lapel pins, and that, especially compared to the Golden Globes. And how about James Franco? Did he not look relieved not to win?
Yeah. I was really surprised. And I was really surprised that he did not get an Oscar nomination because I really thought his performance as Tommy Wiseau, was unbelievable.
Well, and I think momentum he had got killed by the accusations.
Yeah. Yeah, because voting started right after those accusations came out.
Yeah.
So
So it's going to be interesting. I don't know where it stands, where we're going to go with this. Everyone keeps asking me, where is this going? And quite
what
frankly...
What do you mean? Who's asking you that?
People, Michelle. People?
Ask me.
People are people.
Well, I'm going to tell them. I know exactly where it's going. Women will not stop. We won't let it die down. This is for real. It's going to continue. And the accusations will continue throughout this year. This is just the beginning. Every woman I know has been accosted, assaulted. There's been sexual misconduct. There's been pay disparity. Everything that you have heard since October is for real. And we will not... Give
not
up.
F-A-U-X, but
no.
F-O-R.
F-O. Yeah.
F-O-H.
Yeah, faux real. It's like, don't real.
No, I mean, look, I think where it's going, and I said I believe they're instituting a code of conduct on sets, finally.
PGA,
who's going to enforce
SAG.
That?
Yep.
And I think they do have legislation in their sights at some point, so stay tuned.
Yeah. Okay, so we got the Me Too stuff.
Award show coverage, and we did.
Yeah, yeah.
You looked fabulous out there, Michelle. I know
I'm probably
not allowed to say that anymore, but I'm going to say it.
No, and you did too. I really love the shot with you and the other chickie, the little girl from Fox 11.
Oh, Amanda Salas.
Yes, yes.
I am a big fan of her.
She's
very
sweet.
Bright kid. She's a reader, and she's just very quick and smart, and she's going to have an incredible career ahead of her.
Yeah, she's got a career ahead of her.
Yeah.
But I really love the blue tux on you.
Thank you, little blue velvet.
I like that. Yeah. Anyway.
Anyway. Anywho.
But yeah, anywho, that's neither hide nor hair nor blue tux that we wear.
And look, all this stuff is very, you know, people are like, oh, I'm afraid to say, you know, someone looks great. I'm like, you know what? It's all very easy. Conduct is very easy.
Conduct is easy. You can say these things.
You can say these things.
But you can't say, I want to have sex with you. That's the wrong thing to say. Like Garrison Keillor, really? Did you hear about Garrison Keillor?
Ugh, gross. I know, I want to. So he's so gross looking.
He is gross looking.
All these guys are. Looking.
Well, here's my take on it, and I don't know if I might get. I don't think I'll get anybody mad because I'm just stating a fact, okay? I was out with a couple of writers. I'm trying to produce this film, mm-hmm. and you know, one of the writers said to me, "All this going on right now is because, you know, so many men like me, you know, do this, and he's not saying he's one of them, you know, but, you know, become famous and work hard to get into positions so they can, like, it's like the nerd's revenge. And most of these men that you find in these positions are men that don't know how to relate to women, that have never had a shot with women. I mean, I'm sorry if you're going to get mad at me, but I'm just being real. I mean,
I think you're touching on a very interesting point.
I mean, not with attractive women.
Look,
hugely attractive women are not going to go running down the street after Garrison Keillor, no matter how sapiosexual they are. And sapiosexual means you're in love with the person's mind versus how they look.
As Joan Rivers used to crack, no one ever stuck their hand down my chest to looking for a library card.
Right, right. You know, and a lot of these guys like are completely and utterly gross.
Yeah.
James Toback, Brett Ratner is not totally gross, but he's
Harvey Weinstein.
You know, Harvey Weinstein. They're just, it's like the nerd's revenge. They become famous so they can get women, and then they abuse their power because they don't know how to act around women because they never had this before. And what they have is actually a falsity. It's based on power.
I think you're touching on something, and I think I had this conversation with a buddy of mine who I grew up with on Saturday. I think there's a broader conversation that we need to be having as a society, and that is the sexual revolution has told all of us that we can have sex when, where, how, and you know, when we want, how mm-hmm. we want, where mm-hmm. we want, at any time, because it makes you feel good, and that's all that matters.
Right.
And there's a consequence to that. And that's great for Ivy League, white, educated, upper class people. But for people who aren't as fortunate with the education and incomes and all that, it has a devastating effect on. And it has an effect on how people conduct themselves. I think it's mm-hmm. all sort of connected, I think.
I mean, I think you make a point. I'll go back to my nerd's revenge statement. Again, I think a lot of men climb to this ivory tower because power gave them a perceived sexual dominance. And now we're finding, and celebrity, mm-hmm. and that's the other part equation of this I don't think we're touching on, but we should. But celebrity is overrated. And what we're finding these days is that what people do for celebrity is, and they do it a lot of the time because they get everything for free and they get so like everything is given to them mm-hmm. because they become a business. You know what I mean? They become the business of Hollywood and that in turn, you know, they get a lot of money, they get a lot of freebies, and with that comes a responsibility. And now there's 15-minute celebrities like Kim Kardashian. It's more like 20 minutes now with her. who literally got famous over a sex tape.
Yeah.
And her husband, who everybody thinks is a genius, but I think is not so much.
Yeah. No, I think, look, we have to look at ourselves. We all have a hand in this. You know, Hollywood has a hand in this and the product they put out, and the music industry and some of the most misogynistic lyrics.
Listen to those lyrics.
You know, like, so there.
Let me give you an example of this. Jay-Z, his latest video. This really knocked me out. He's sitting there in a church with his daughter and his wife, right? And he is spouting the most vile lyrics with his daughter looking on. And he's like, at one point he says in his lyrics, was better than one billionaire, but two, and the same hue. It's like, what? Like, you're teaching your daughter that's what's important?
I know.
Like, really? Being a black billionaire is important? Is that what you're teaching her? Like, and then, like, all his misogynistics come rushing to my head. Like, really? Like, this is what people celebrate.
It's crazy.
That is crazy.
Yeah. I thank God every day I grew up in a household full of women.
Yeah. I thank God, too.
Yeah, because it just sort of, nothing against my father. My father was, you know, was a gentleman, as far as I know, he was. But I, you know, I remember I came home drunk in college, home, and he was away at work, and, you know, my mother took a broom to my head. She's like, you don't come home like this.
Yeah. It's interesting. Yeah, you had that.
There was a certain certain way we had to behave.
Yeah, and I also blame it on weak women parenting, too. I mean, I think there's plenty of bad men that have come from homes with really weak women as their moms, and I see it. Yeah. And I see it. I'm sorry, I do, but I shouldn't be sorry because that needs to be called out. But then there's amazing men that come from really strong women.
Yeah.
You know, I look at, I don't know why Michael Jordan just popped in my head, and even, you know, even Barack Obama, like these people come from strong women households. They have strong moral values.
There's something to be said.
There's nobody, yeah. Like, you can talk about Barack Obama's policies all you want, but that man and that family, his family, it was the best in the White House I've ever seen.
Yeah. So. Yeah. They did us proud. So what else, Michelle? Should we talk about Megyn Kelly? The Megyn Kelly meltdown?
That was interesting.
Full-on meltdown Monday on the Today Show.
Do you have the clip? Because I have the clip.
I don't. You have it?
Good. Yeah, I do. I'll bring it up in a second. Talk to Pete. Tell our listeners what happened.
So as we know, Megyn Kelly has been struggling to date in the ratings in the 9 o'clock hour, and she gave an interview with Jane Fonda and Robert Redford earlier, I think in September when the show launched, and the interview quickly went south because Megyn Kelly felt the need to ask Jane about her plastic surgery.
That's right.
And
so
Jane had a very visceral reaction to the question.
Here was her. I think this is her reaction.
Great.
Why did you say, I read that you said you felt, you're not proud to admit that you've had work done. Why not?
We really want to talk about that now?
Well, one of the things people think about when they look at you is how amazing you look.
Well, thanks. Good attitude, good posture, take care of myself. But let me tell you.
See, that, you know, as an interviewer who someone is conducting millions of these interviews.
At that moment, she knew she asked the wrong question.
She did, because she did not. You have to back into that kind of question. You have to build up a certain level of comfort and credibility with the person you're talking to. Mm-hmm. And she had none of it.
None.
She started off that interview by referring to them as Bob and Jane. I'm sorry. If it was me, and I'm sure you would ask, can I call you, you know, I'm a little stunned from jet lag. Mr. Redford, do you mind if I call you Bob? You just sort of come from a place of humility.
Yep.
And they were a little suspect to begin with because she came from Fox.
She came from Fox.
So,
I mean, I think personally that's why she did that, because, you know, Megan made some really cogent points, and I'm going to point it out. Megan made a cogent point when she said she's been asked this question and she has answered it time and time again.
Fonda was on to promote a film about aging. For years, she has spoken openly about her joy.
This was her response
to
Monday.
Yep. Based yeah. Older women.
Yeah, she said.
She is right about that.
She is right, and I think I have clips.
And that is why, to her credit, she has discussed her cosmetic surgery pretty much everywhere before coming on our show.
Last year, I had plastic surgery, and mm-hmm. I have been very public about it. I had to admit it. I feel so good. I'm so happy. And I didn't want to look kind of tired and jowly anymore.
So she's talked about it.
She's talked about it. But like I said, you have to sort of back into that. You have to read the room. And as an interviewer, sort of back into that sort of question and develop the comfort level. And that's why, I'm not defending Jane Fonda. A couple of you on Twitter are going after me saying, she's a traitor. Yes, I disagreed with
what
she did.
Yeah, but we have to forgive it.
Yes, but I'm not defending Jane Fonda. I'm critiquing Megyn Kelly as an interviewer, and that was a terrible interview. And what she did Monday was a cheap shot.
Okay, so these are clips of her Monday defending it because Jane again spoke about it over the weekend at Sundance. Mm-hmm. And Jane again said it was an awkward question to ask. I agree with Megan that the question was not awkward considering it was a movie about aging people. Okay, mm-hmm. But that wasn't the first question she should have asked.
Exactly.
She should have led up to that question. And that was the problem with that. That's number one. Number two, Jane's response was that her response was angry and defiant. And I felt it in her voice. And my walking away thought was, Jane did that because she's from Fox, and Jane Fonda does not like Fox. Mm-hmm. And she literally, in that moment, was judging her for being from Fox and for asking that question. That's number two. Number three is Megyn Kelly could have just defended herself and said, the question's been asked before, perhaps it wasn't right the first question off the bat, but she should have never brought up and said this.
Hanoi Jane. Yeah.
This is a woman whose name is synonymous with outrage. Look at her treatment of our military during the Vietnam War. Many of our veterans still call her Hanoi Jane, thanks to her radio broadcast, which attempted to shame American troops.
There you go.
You know, it was a cheap shot. She should not have gone there.
Yep.
And she should not have used our men and women in the military to score a couple of cheap points.
Absolutely.
I think part of the problem, I have personal experience with Megyn Kelly.
Yep.
And I have personal experience with Jane Fonda. Guess what? Both were unpleasant. And I think part of the problem here, I'm going to get a little psychological here, is they're probably two of the same type of person, and they did not click. I flew back with Jane Fonda from Washington about a couple of years ago, mm-hmm. and I grabbed the last seat on the shuttle. It was an aisle seat, and she happened to be sitting to my right in a window seat, and she had her bare feet in the pocket in front of me and with the newspaper up. And she looked at me, snapped the paper, and put her back to me the entire time. It was just rude the entire time. Clearly, she wanted both seats to herself. And I guess I was supposed to wait for the next shuttle. So as we were getting off the plane, I got up. She got up. It was, I hate everyone jumps up at the same time.
Yeah.
When the play, like, everyone stopped. We're not in a rush. Got my bag, and then she went to go get her bag, and she looked at me as if I should have reached up to grab her bag. Now, normally, Michelle, I would have.
I know you would have.
And I said, looked at her, and I said, honestly, normally, I would.
You did? You said this?
I said this. I said, normally, I would have been more than happy to reach up and get your bag, but you were so rude for the last 45 minutes. And besides the point, I'm meeting my father-in-law, who's picking me up at the airport, and he served in Vietnam. So I am not, for him, you can get your own bag.
Holy,
and that was it.
Holy
I
cow.
I said my piece.
Wow.
And that was it.
I'm admiring you right now.
I have a mouth. You know that.
You do. But sometimes I'm like, sometimes you're like, oh my God, you did it.
So for everyone on social media, I am not defending Jane Fonda. I am I enjoy her work. I love Grace and Frankie, but I probably would not want to interview her.
Yeah, she seems
don't
like
think
a
I
total.
Would. Yeah.
Yeah, you know where I'm going.
So look, Megyn Kelly, Monday was an act of desperation. It was a ratings grab. And I guess it worked, but my point is, if she felt so outraged by Jane Fonda's past behavior, why'd she book her in the first place? And why didn't she bring this up in the first place? So,
well, that's not, again,
I'm being a little cynical, but I think
you are.
Sincerity.
You are, and I think you need to leave the past, let the past go, because I think that the problem here is, people make mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
Jane has made a mistake. I think she's copped to that a few times. I think also at the same time, Megan has made lots of mistakes, Santa Claus. Mm-hmm. And people can bring that stuff up. So when somebody says, I don't need to be lectured by somebody like her, and then brings up her past, that's not cool. The only thing she should have done, and I go back to my original statement, is she should have gone on and said, this was a logical question, yeah, and here's why.
You're right.
And that's it. And walked away, hands clean.
I think what was sort of playing here behind the egos, and I think the fact that Hoda Kotb and Savannah Guthrie laughed at a joke that Jane and Lily made in a different interview at Megan's expense really was sort of stewing,
uh-huh,
and getting underneath.
It's ego. Yeah. It's ego.
And I think that all sort of burst onto the sets.
And the other thing, let's face it, Megan is looking for the accolades from Hollywood, just like everybody else that gets on network television, particularly NBC, after leaving Fox, and she is still stained by working at Fox.
She thought she'd be in the popular kids club right out of the gate. Gotta work it. I found that, case in point, Sunday night, I was covering the red carpet. Sean Astin, who was in Stranger Things 2, huge fan of his, was there with his daughter, and one of the guys said, oh, here's Fox affiliates, and directed them to me. And right at Fox, ugh. But he came up, and we talked. I had to work at it.
Yeah.
And by the end of it, we had a great interview. We talked about his daughter. He got very personal about his home life with his kids and how they critique him. It was not something I was going to get with the second question.
Yeah.
It was about six in.
Listen, Michael, you know that I go through the same horrors that you do all the time. I get pushed aside. I get literally, you know, spit on, not in a literal sense, but people look at me and literally look like they're going to hock up a Luger in my face. I have been turned down so many times. People will literally turn. I will ask for an interview. They look at my mic flag, see Fox. They turn their back right to my face and are talking to their publicist and shaking their head.
I know.
Like, no,
I know.
I'm not talking to them. And it's like, wow, I'm not a human. No, seriously.
And our audience doesn't count.
No.
That's what they're saying. It's like, you know.
I don't care. Like, my job right there is to talk to them and is to get the information that I need for our audience. But when I'm treated like not a human because I work for a particular network, that's insanity.
Yeah.
So
there we have it. I think we got it all in.
Did we get it all in?
But first, should we move on to what we're watching and binging? I've seen so much.
Okay. Go ahead, because I'm trying to, in my head,
So I just came out of a screening of Maze Runner, The Death Cure, the final, third and final movie in that franchise. Like the first one, was not a fan of the second one, loved the third one. Really good.
Okay.
2.5 hours, they wrap it up. On my flight home yesterday, I started Law and Order True Crime, The Menendez Murders. I was able to watch the first four episodes. It was so good.
My neighbor's in that.
Is he really?
Mm-hmm. Michael Silver.
Oh.
Right now. He plays the lawyer.
Got home yesterday, said to my husband, I said, okay, you have about 2 hours to yourself to start episode one and catch up, because we finished it last night through 1 o'clock.
In episode one, two, and three. He's Gerald Chalif.
Oh, yeah.
He's a hottie. Mm-hmm.
So good.
Yeah.
I was really shocked at how good it was. I figured, Law and Order, eh. But Edie Falco's phenomenal. And Grace and Frankie, season four, guys.
Yeah.
Continues to be a good one.
You like it. I know.
Do.
You like
it. You can't get into it.
Yeah, I don't. I don't know what it is. Just doesn't feel right to me.
An American Crime Story, Versace.
Gianni Versace. That's really good.
That's been the first episode.
First of all.
Dark. It's a little down. It's sort of a little depressing, but Donatella's so fabulous. I'm sort of drawn to that character.
She's played by Penelope Cruz, which is such a stretch, because Donatella literally looks like a Mack truck hitter. I mean that.
You mean that in the best of senses?
In the best.
great.
A Bentley Mack truck. A Bentley.
There goes that interview with Donatella Michelle Pulino. God.
But the she's played by actress Penelope Cruz, who is stunningly gorgeous. Like, stunningly gorgeous. Yeah. But that whole kind of everything about Gianni Versace is amazing. And that kid from Glee is good. He's so good.
He's so good.
Ricky Martin is so hot. Eduardo Ramirez, or is that his name?
Yes.
Eduardo Edward. He is so good as Versace. Everybody rocks in this show.
It's Ryan Murphy at his best. He has such a knack for picking these shows and topics and producing.
Right.
It's fantastic.
Right. And it's the first Ryan Murphy show, I think, without what's her name? God, I can't think of
actress.
Yeah.
In the Post, American Horror Story.
Yes.
She's married to another actress.
Holland Taylor.
But that who's the actress? Come on.
I can't believe I can't think of it.
While you find, I have to say, I interviewed Holland Taylor once on the red carpet for the Tony Awards, and I loved her because we went out there in front of the camera, and she said, no.
Sarah Paulson.
Holland Taylor goes, no, darling, I have to stand on this side. It's my better angle.
She's funny.
And she was dead serious. Wherever you want, Miss Taylor.
Yeah, she's dead serious.
She was playing Governor Richardson, Ann Richardson at the time.
Yeah, she's pretty amazing.
Yes. So that's what I got, Michelle.
Well, I am a TV hog, and I've been going nonstop after The Crown, which we talked about extensively, I believe. That is the show that you need to watch, season two. If you haven't watched it, then hit season one, then season two. But really, The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel is, I mean,
fantastic.
I look at... It's fantastic. Have you seen it?
I saw about the first four episodes, and I just sort of got distracted, and I will go back to it.
All of us love it. Every person that I hand it off to says, oh, my God, it's the greatest show. The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel, it's already won so many awards. Outstanding Actress at the Golden Globes, the PGA's Outstanding Comedy Series.
Critics' Choice Award.
It really is that show. It's that show now. Amazon has done good because Transparent is just a snooze fest any longer. And they really needed something, and I think Marvelous Mrs. Maisel will help Amazon. Not that the $105 billion Jeff Bezos needs any help, but... It's a really great show. So Crown, Mrs. Maisel, Peaky Blinders, if you haven't seen it, season four.
I heard that's really, I haven't seen season one.
Oh my gosh.
Good?
Oh my gosh. It is like, for me, I love Tom Hardy. So Tom Hardy in anything is good. Okay. I would watch Tom Hardy stir paint if needed. Like,
I bet you would.
I mean, come on. And I'm picturing him doing it right now. And in his white overalls.
Yeah.
Naked underneath. But that's another story. But after Peaky Blinders, I would go Shameless. I love Shameless. I think this is a really fun season. And I think that's really, for me, those are my top ones to look at right now. I don't find anything else really interesting. I know everybody's like, This Is Us, but I don't find This Is Us interesting.
I love the first season, and to me it was a one and done.
Yeah, me too.
I sort of had that feeling. It was like, what was the other Desperate Housewives? It was a brilliant first season, and then it was just
Yeah.
So we should congratulate 21CF Michelle for a fantastic day yesterday with Oscar nominations.
Yes.
A ton.
Yeah.
Best Picture, The Post, Three Billboards Outside Ebbing, Missouri, and The Shape of Water. Best Animated Film, Ferdinand, and Boss Baby.
Among just a few. Three Billboards is my favorite. And Three Billboards and Shape of Water. I'm kind of tired, I'll be honest, of Meryl Streep. I'm tired of her, and I don't know what it is.
I think a lot of people are feeling the same way.
She's always been a favorite actress of mine. There's something going on right now, and I don't know what it is, but I'm just tired of her. And I thought The Post was okay. I was just like, I walked away from it, and I was like,
You know what it is? It was like Lincoln. It was like I love Steven Spielberg, but it was a little heavy-handed. It was like,
yeah,
here's the movie, guys. It's ready for its awards. No.
Right.
It was a little slow in the beginning, and it got better towards the end. The performances were great, but it was very heavy-handed towards being geared towards award season. And I think it's sort of a little bit of that sort of comes through. I love Shape of Water. It's weird. I'm sorry.
I like weird. I'm sorry.
I know. We've gone from, you know, a fish called Wanda to Wanda Stoops a fish. It's just, just saying.
It's like,
I can't get past that.
No, you're right. It's like a fish called Wanda meets Beauty and the Beast. That's exactly what it is. three billboards outside Ebbing, Missouri.
Fabulous.
I loved it. People have criticized it. People have called it a movie about an angry woman. People have called it a movie that is against America, which I'm like, where are you getting that?
I know.
I'm like, where are you getting that? I need to understand that. To me, it's about a movie about a small town with people that are just filled with rage.
Yeah.
And towards the end of the movie, you see their rage turning into something, you know, it's making the turn around the corner, you know, and around the corner towards good. And one line in that movie sums up the entire movie. And it was, what's her name's ex, when he comes up to her and he goes, "Hate only begets hate." And that was like a turning point in the movie.
Yeah. And the performance is Frances McDormand.
So that's what you need to take from that movie. Tanya is one I haven't
seen.
I haven't seen it. All the Money in the World You Say is great. Again, these are two I haven't seen, but I've pretty much seen the rest of them. But I really love Get Out. That's my pick.
My favorite movie of the year on so many levels. It was made for $5 million, grossed over $230 million. The box office. I mean, it's the most successful movie of 2017 and the best reviewed movie of 2017. It was so fresh, relevant. I mean, at one point you're horrified, and then the next minute you're laughing. You're like, how the hell did he do that?
Yeah.
So good. I'm with you on that one. Was All the Money nominated? I didn't see that.
I don't think
for best.
Christopher Plummer got
it, as he should. He stepped in
At the last minute
and shot the whole movie in 2 weeks or three weeks.
Just the scenes, which are interesting. Elton John's retiring from the road after a 3-year tour. Going to spend time with his husband and his kids.
This isn't like Cher's retirement tour, is it? Which is her farewell tour. Farewell.
Listen, he's been sick. He's been sick for a while. So he's gotten ill in the last couple rounds. His kids are growing up. It's different from Cher.
I've seen her farewell tour.
Five times?
About five times at this point. Farewell, farewell, farewell. Farewell again.
So long.
So
farewell.
Long. I don't mind it. I love her, so who cares? But you got to know when to hang it up in this business.
And
kudos to Elton John.
And here we go. Time. And. Farewell, Yellow Brick Road for Elton John. And it's farewell for us, too. You can follow Michael at...
Foxlight Michael on Twitter and Instagram. And Michelle Polino at...
Michelle Polino, drop the E after Michelle. And you got me. I will talk to you later.
Ciao.
Have a great week.
You too. Bye.